So I got a couple questions. Who doesn't want long life or favor or smooth sailing, a healthy body, or maybe even a prosperous way? I mean, who doesn't want that? It sounds like the dream life. And if this was offered to me, I'd be like, sign me up. There was a movie that was out several years ago, and it was about the very wealthy and the very poor. Well, the very wealthy, they decided to make their own planet and live up above the earth, while the very poor lived down below. And the only way that you were able to get up to this very wealthy place is if you had a lot of money, but it had a scanner to make sure that you didn't have any sicknesses. And if you had a broken bone, this particular scanner could fix you automatically. If you had any kind of genetic defect, I mean, this was the place to be. It was the absolute dream life. And I know some of us would go, well, wait a second, I would want that life. How do I obtain that favorable life, that long kind of life where everything is just smooth sailing? Who can help me get there? Well, Solomon, he kind of gives us a perfect plan. And I want us to take a look. We're going to start out in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1, my son. Now, I'm having us stop there because we've got to see the family kind of passing on wisdom that Solomon wants to do for his son. And he says, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. You see, we've got a series of choices that we can make in life. And we've got a series of choices as to whether or not we want this wise life that leads to this long life, that leads to this favorable life, that leads to this kind of smooth sailing kind of life. And in these choices, he begins with one choice. You got to want to be obedient to remember the right thing to do. He says there, my son, don't forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. In other words, as I'm communicating to you what is the right thing to do and what is the wrong thing to do, if you're listening with ears that just want to go the wrong way, when it's time to make your decision, you're going to make the wrong choice. Or you can choose to be honorable. My son, I'm speaking to you. Honor your father and your mother so that it may go well with you, so that you can have a long life. We want to have a long life. We want to have a life that's just full. And he says, listen, make a right choice. Choose to want to be obedient. Choose it from your heart, not because you have to, because if you have to do it when I'm not around, you won't do it because you're not honorable. You see, honorable is different than obedience. Obedience is you do it because you have to do it. Honor is when you know your authority's heart and you choose to do it even though they're not around or they are watching you. And so it's kind of like the life that we live right now. Jesus is not physically with us. He's with us by faith. And we choose to honor him and his word because though he's not physically with us, we can't physically see him. He's still with us in the spirit, and we choose to honor him though we can't see him. Gives another choice there in verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Listen, we're surrounded by people. I taught a sermon this past weekend, and people are the problem. When Jesus tells us things like love one another, the only problem with that command is people. I mean, if there weren't people, it wouldn't have to be a command. But the reason it's a command and not a suggestion is because people can be a problem. So Solomon says, listen, you got to be forgiving. You've got to have mercy. And he says as well, you've got to have truth. You've got to be a person of integrity. You've got to make the choice to have character. Now, I love what he says. Bind it around your neck, because when someone hurts you, it's so easy to throw mercy out the door. And when some kind of situation comes your way, it's so easy to compromise instead of to live by the truth of God's word, like love your enemy. No, living by truth is being a person of character and choosing to have integrity. He says this in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. He says, listen, you got to recognize you're not the final authority. Now, that's important for us to hear. Because I love when I was teaching my kids how to do something when they were younger. And when they were younger, I would say, no, here's how you do it. And they're like, I got it, Dad. I know how to do it. You really don't. That's why I'm here. I got it, Dad. I'll never forget. I gave my two older sons an IKEA desk. And I said, put it together. When I came in the room, it did not look like a desk. It looked like a trapezoid. There were pieces that were crooked, and the desk was all wobbly, and I'm like, what is this? And I wanted to help them, and they're like, Dad, we got it. And I walk in, and I'm like, son, all you have to do is touch this desk, and it's going to go over. It's not a desk. It's a trapezoid. And they go, Dad, we did the best we could. And then I took the directions out of the box, and I'm like, could you at least have looked at the directions instead of trying to piecemeal this thing together? See, Solomon's making it clear. You got to recognize you're not the final authority. You got to trust the Lord. You can't lean on your own understanding. Listen to the choice. You got to choose to be submissive. If you want smooth sailing, you got to choose to be submissive. You've got to choose to ask an authority. You've got to choose to ask God, which way do you want me to go? Because if you come up with it on your own, I guarantee it's not going to be smooth sailing. In fact, it could be a gusty gale. He goes on in verse 7, he says this, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Solomon is saying, listen, you gotta seek counsel and you gotta have accountability. But who likes to admit they need help? I was a lifeguard for years in the Fort Lauderdale Beach, and it was always amazing to me when I saw someone drowning and they weren't really drowned yet. You know, I would swim up to them and I'm like, I'm here to help you. And they would always say, I'm good. Really? Okay, I'm going to watch you drown, and then I will rescue you and bring you in. No, I'm good. No, there's no problem at all. I'm really, really good. Are you really good? Okay, I'm going to swim away now. Well, I'm not so great. You know, maybe you can just kind of stay around. No, if I'm out here, you're going to grab my buoy, and I'm going to bring you in. I'll never forget one particular time I rescued someone, and as I'm rescuing this person, he began to climb up the buoy to teach me how to swim. And I'm like, no, I don't need you. Back away. So then he began to drown me as he was teaching me how to do it. So I simply just kind of put him in a little cross chest carry and I put him underneath me. And then I brought him back up and he goes, you're going to drown me. And I said to him, I'm taking you in dead or alive. I know CPR. When we get to the beach, I'll bring you back to life. He listened from that point forward. The truth is the matter. You gotta choose to be transparent with somebody. You know what I find about young people? And notice I'm gonna include myself with the pronoun. We're always so concerned what people think. My dad said this, from 0 to 20, we're so concerned what people think. From 20 to 40, we act like we don't care what people think. And then from 40 to death, we realize nobody was really thinking of us in the first place. It's the truth. And I gotta tell you something, there's a song that we sing. You've heard me say this before, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a bunch of wretches like you people. Amen? Didn't sound so hearty. Okay, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a bunch of wretches like us. Let me tell you something, if you've made the mistake, I guarantee there's another human being that has made it. And by choosing to be transparent, you're actually opening yourself up to be accountable and to get counsel on how to get out of your problem. Look at verse 9. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. He says, listen, you got a purpose to fight selfishness and purpose to recognize stewardship. We don't own anything. What part of self-made man or woman of you kept you alive through the night last night breathing? You see, God has given us the gifts that we have. And whether you've got a car, am I using it for myself or am I using it for the kingdom? And whether you go to school, am I using this education for God or am I using it for the kingdom? Don't be so selfish, he says. Give your life away and make a choice to be generous. Jesus said this, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. You see, with this kind of generosity, there's actually prosperity. With the kind of being transparent, you're actually going to choose to be healthy. And if you're going to be submissive, there's going to be smooth sailing because you're going to hear some good counsel. If you're going to have character, you're going to find yourself growing in favor with God and man because people can actually trust you. And if you want to be honorable, God promises long life. But there's a problem. It's called humanity. And sometimes we get caught up in things that we shouldn't. Who's ever made a wrong choice? Raise your hand. No, really. Okay, everyone that's not raising your hand, you just made a wrong choice because now I'm going to call you out, okay? If you've made a wrong choice in your life, raise your hand, okay? Let me say this. Boyfriend. Anyone ever made a wrong boy decision? And if you're sitting next to him now, don't raise your hand, okay? You ever made a wrong girlfriend decision? You go ahead, raise your hand. Anyway, okay, yeah. It's like we've made some wrong decisions in our life. How many of you look back at some of those wrong decisions, you like put your hand in your head and you're absolutely humiliated that you made the decision that you made? Anyone? Anyone's got some of those? Yeah. Like you look at the picture of the boy that you chose, right? And you're like, I can't, what was I thinking? You know? You look at the picture, no, we won't do it for the girl. Okay, so here's the deal. All of a sudden, in these wrong choices, our smooth sailing has turned into what I said earlier, some gusty gales. The storm of life is upon us. No longer do I feel this favor. No longer do I feel this smooth sailing. I don't feel this health and prosperous way about me. Something is wrong. There's actually a storm that's against me. And can I tell you sometimes that God uses those storms to get our attention? The disciples were on their way to Bethsaida. They wanted to go home. They had a long couple weeks of ministry, but Jesus, he said, we got to cross and get to the other side. Well, Bethsaida was a little diversion. It was kind of like, you know, let's go home. Let's go see our wives. Let's go see our family for a little while. And Jesus said, no, we got a job to do. So all of a sudden, this storm comes up in Mark's gospel. And Jesus wakes up on the boat, comes out and sees them out there, and he calms the storm. And the Bible says, as soon as he calmed the storm, they found themselves on the other side, not in Bethsaida, but in Gennesaret. Because Jesus had to do a little bit of correction, and he used a storm to correct their way. Because sometimes God's knocking on our heart's door. You know that verse, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I wish it said, behold, I stand at the door and ring the doorbell. Because sometimes we ignore the knock. And it's kind of like this little thing. I wish there was some kind of doorbell in heaven that just went to get all of our attention. Because I just got all of your attentions. But sometimes we don't hear the knock. So God has to bring some kind of little storm in our life to disrupt our smooth sailing. And he's only bringing the storm because he wants to make a course correction. He wants to protect us from going the wrong way. So the Bible says there in verse 11, if you look with me, my son, don't despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. You see, you guys got to remember, God's desire for us, well, Jesus said it best, I have come to give you life abundantly. I've come to give you life abundantly. God's desire for us is an abundant life. And as a good father, now I know some of you don't believe this because you're still not a parent. But as a good father, a father disciplines the son he loves to get the child's attention. So I don't spank my kids because I enjoy seeing them cry. I don't put my kids in time out because I just love, and it's so classic. I'll tell you a little story. AJ, we learned, AJ who just sang, AJ, we learned that he loved time out. And so I would say, you need to go to timeout. And he'd go, I don't want to go to timeout. And he would go into timeout and he would be the happiest child. Because look, we had 9 kids. He would be like, praise God, I get to get away from all of those kids and all that. And he would just go to timeout. And then we had another kid who absolutely abhorred timeout. His name was Micaiah. You put him in timeout, he was banging on the walls to get out. So we learned with AJ, we gave him a plastic bag, go pick weeds. Until the plastic bag is filled, don't come back in the house. Quickly, course correction. Never did things like he did again. For Micaiah, we just said, hey, go to the room. I'll never do it again. He's just my social kid. He wants to be with everybody. And as soon as, when we said time out, it was like, go spend time with the devil. I mean, that was, to him, it was just kind of like, are you kidding me? It's hot in there. I mean, it was like, he would just go on and on. And I'll never forget. I can't believe I'm saying this on the radio. I'll never forget, we're driving home and he's much younger. And he had done something in Sunday school. And so in his, you know, Sunday school class, and his teacher downloaded the whole thing to me. We're on our way home. He's 6 years old, okay? And I go, son, when we get home, you are going to time out. So we're driving home, and 6 years old, he goes, Dad, I need to talk to you. And I said, what's wrong, son? I have wronged you. 6 years old, I have wronged you, but not you alone. I have wronged the Almighty God. And I'm sitting there listening to this going, wow. And he goes, I'm repenting. And I am, you know what repent means, Dad? It means turn and go the other way. I am turning from my sin. And you know what I said to him? I go, son, I am so proud of you right now that because you are willing to turn and go the other way, that's what discipline is. Discipline is just to get you to the place where you realize you're wrong and you start going the other way. He goes, I am going the other way. I am sorry. And I go, son, I am not putting you in timeout. I am so proud of you. He runs in the house at 6 years old. And he runs in the room to AJ. And I kind of just follow, you know, just because just be like, I'm so proud of my child, right? He runs in the room and he's 6, so he doesn't know I followed him. And he looks at AJ and he says, I got him. And AJ, I know how to do it. Just tell him you've wronged the Almighty God. Tell him you repent. Tell him, and I'm sitting there listening to the whole thing, right? I walk in and I promise you his spirit left him. I said, you're in timeout, not for 1 week, for 6 weeks. You will. I don't even know if I'm going to feed you at this point. I fed him. Every other day. But isn't that the point of discipline? God's just trying to get our attention to put us in the right course correction. That's it. And sometimes he uses a storm. And here the Bible says, listen, if you've made the wrong choice, if you've chosen not to be honorable, but you've chosen to be dishonorable, God may use some chastening, some discipline. And like the disciples, he may even use a storm, but his goal is simply to get your attention. Listen to this. I want to read it for you. It's Hebrews chapter 12. Start with verse 9. Hebrews 12, verse 9. Word of God says this, furthermore, we've had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them. But he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. God just desires to give you the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And the very next word, Solomon describes the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Right there in verse 13, he says, happy. Happy. When God disciplines you and puts you on a course correction, he's saying, trust me in this, son. You're going to be happier than where you were headed. He's actually protecting you from those wrong decisions by doing the course corrections so that you can live in the joy of the Lord. He says, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Now, those two words are important. You find wisdom because you messed up, and you gain understanding because you acted ignorantly. Those are two words to hear. You acted foolish and you acted ignorantly. I don't hear that. I hear how great it is that God wants to make me wise. And even though I may do some simpleton things, even though I may do some foolish things, and even though he may have a course correction and he wants to give me understanding, though I was ignorant, God desires to give me wisdom and he desires to give me understanding. Look at the happy life. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She's more precious than fine rubies. And all of the things that you may desire can't compare with her. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 16, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Happy. God's desire is abundant life. And his course correction is not for you to detest him and say, why are you doing this to me, God? His correction is simply to open our eyes to the abundant life that he has for us. Peace. That's what he wants to give us. So we've got some choices to make. Do you want this life of happiness that God wants to give you, or do you want this life of foolishness and living in your ignorance and constantly going from storm to storm and gusty gales instead of smooth sailing? Well, are we able to make wise choices? Well, the wisest choice you make can be found in the perfect plan, right in the center of the perfect plan that Solomon offers. It's Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Listen again. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Now, here's the problem with that. When life gets challenging, and it doesn't go the way that we thought or think it should go, that's where trusting becomes a problem. Well, God, I thought I was going to marry this person, and she just broke up with me. What's going on? How can I trust you? She's the most beautiful thing that ever happened to me. And I know I'm 15, but I thought for sure God told me. Listen, if anyone ever comes to you and says, God told me that you're supposed to marry me, laugh and walk away. Just walk. Keep laughing as you walk. That is called manipulation, okay? God told me. I have had more God told me in my office. Well, God told me that I was going to marry this one, and God told me. Well, then why did she marry someone else and have a perfectly happily ever after life without you? You guys, listen. When life doesn't go our way, can we still trust the Lord with all our heart? You guys, we're talking about the Lord. Look what Solomon says about the Lord in verse 19. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up, and clouds dropped down the dew. From the grandest of things
to the smallest of things, God has taken care in his wisdom of every single detail. Can you look at that kind of Lord and say, I trust you with the grandest of decisions in my life as to who I'm going to marry, and from the smallest decision of my life in thanking you for the food I'm about to eat, can I trust you with every bit from my heart? Not because someone told me to. No, that's not heart. It's like my daughters. They look at their closet and they say they have nothing to wear. You're looking at a closet. There is something in there that you can wear. No, it's not in their heart. They don't want to wear what's in front of them. You see, heart has to do with what we want. And can we choose to trust the Lord with all of our heart and actually trust him because we want to trust him? Not because we have to, but because he's the Lord of all wisdom. He's the Lord of all understanding. And he says, lean not on your own understanding. Can I tell you about your understanding? It's limited. It's limited. I had a young man walk up to me a couple weeks ago in church. And he said, I really believe sister so-and-so is in love with me. You do. That's great. Well, sister so-and-so had just told me 2 days before that she's disgusted with the way brother so-and-so is now talking to me, disgusted with him, and she feels like he is a stalker. So he says to me, I know that she loves me. I see the way she looks at me. And I know that now I need to take the first step and ask her out on a date. Now listen, I know what she's thinking. He don't. I know how she feels about him. He doesn't. He is ignorant. I am all wise. He is foolish. I am all wisdom. Because I know. Simply for the fact I know, I can lead him in the right direction. And I said, brother, she's not for you. I hear she burps after she eats. And I began to tell him all kinds of wonderful things about this woman, why she would not be for him. Now, I didn't say burp after you eat, and I can't believe I just said that. But at the same time, I was trying to convince to him, she's not for you. We go to God and we say, God, this is what I want. No, that's not what you want. I know what you want. I'm all wise. I've already seen it. God, this is what I need. No, that is not what you need. And I know because I'm all wise. Can we lean not on our own understanding and trust in God's eternal perspective instead of our limited perspective? Listen, this past Wednesday, I hiked up Saddleback Mountain, straight up to the peak, 16 miles. Don't ever do it. It was the dumbest thing I've ever done in my whole life. And when I got up there, I thought to myself, now I have to go back down. And I'm up there on the top, and it's like you get to the peak, and you can see the desert, you can see the ocean, you can see Lake Elsinore, and you can see the ocean. It's unfathomable. And as I sat up there, I looked at my little valley, Mission Viejo, and Aliso Viejo, and Laguna Niguel, and Laguna Beach, and I couldn't believe how small it looked. Because all of a sudden, I have a different perspective. And there on the top of that mountain, things began to change. I began to think to myself, God, we really can take this valley for you. God, you really can bring revival. God, LA's not so far away. I can see the buildings. You own all of this, and I'm your kid. Give it to me. I want to see revival. And all of a sudden, my perspective changed. Because I was looking at it from a bird's eye view. So Solomon says in verse 21, my son, let them not depart from your eyes, this wisdom. Keep sound wisdom and discretion so they will be life to your soul, grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror. Listen to what he says. Lean not on your own understanding. If you want to have life and you want to have safety, and you want to sleep well, and there's nothing like a good sleep. Don't lean on your own understanding. Hold on to my wisdom. Hold on to my discretion. Don't go your way. In fact, he says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. And he's going to make your path straight. Well, in our journey, our path that we're walking on, we're going to have some choices. God is saying, go my way. Not your way. Don't lean on your own understanding. Several years ago, JFK Jr. was flying from Massachusetts over to Martha's Vineyard. And while he was flying, he, his wife, and his wife's friend, they were upside down. So cloudy, the weather was not good. His instruments were telling him, you're upside down, but he didn't trust his instruments. He trusted his instinct. And he just flew the plane upside down, thinking he's going to land, and just crashed right into the ocean because he felt it, his instincts. You see, God says, don't go by your instinct. Don't go by your feeling. In fact, your heart is deceitfully wicked. He says, no, trust your instruments. Trust me. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge me. So he says this in verse 25. He says, don't be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. He says, this, look, be courageous. I'm with you. Don't worry about the things that are going to come your way. Trust me. Just keep your course correction on me. Look what he says in verse 27. Don't withhold good from those to whom it is due. And when it's in the power of your hand to do so, don't say to your neighbor, go, come back. Tomorrow I'll give it to you when you have it with you. He says, listen, in all your ways, be fair. If you owe a debt, and if you owe something to your neighbor, don't continue to have them keep coming back to you, holding them in suspense. He says, no, be equitable, be fair, be courageous. Look at verse 29. In all your ways, don't devise evil against your neighbor, for he dwells by you for safety's sake. Don't strive with a man without cause if he's done you no harm. He says, listen, my way, be courteous. Choose to be courteous. And what he does is he begins to build character. Again, he says, my ways, would you look with me at verse 31? Don't envy the oppressor and choose none of his ways. For the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret counsel is with the upright. He says, be upright. Choose to stand for something. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools. See, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Now, here's what this means. Choosing this kind of character, being courageous and fair and courteous and upright, choosing this kind of character is making a decision. I'm choosing to trust the Lord. No matter what comes my way, nothing's going to change my character. I'm going to trust the Lord no matter what life brings. Now remember, I started out with who wants life? Who wants favor? Well, I need to remind you of something. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. We have life eternal in Jesus. We have favor from God because of the cross of Jesus Christ. We have a peace that passes understanding that only comes from the throne room of heaven. And we have spiritual health because of the Word of God. And we have a wealth and prosperity of heaven because we've got the words of Jesus. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, even when you don't want to, acknowledge him. He's going to make your path straight. So, Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. And, Lord, so thankful that we can have character to show our trust. And my prayer, Lord, is that you would tonight help us to trust you. Because sometimes when life throws us something that we don't agree with, we begin to doubt. And I want to thank you, Lord, for this proverb, that we can trust you despite what life brings. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.